Hey, what's up, everyone? The boys of Last Podcast on the Left here.
Hello.
Yeah, you?
Want to tell you about our new special. We filmed it in Chicago. It was an unbelievable experience, and you can enjoy it as well. Go to www.lastpodcastlive.com. Don't forget to put the www
in. You gotta get the W's in there.
We're going in the way, way back machine all the way to 2001.
It's a technological glitch that we're trying to get tech support for, but still, just put in the www.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the Last Podcast on the Left.
Side stories.
Love your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes. Man, 2019 is off to a rocking new year, my friend.
Oh yeah, buddy, Dick Clark style.
I am feeling it, man. Dick Clark, what a handsome Frankenstein he was.
Yes, he was adorable.
I can't believe he finally died. How many people did it take to kill him?
No. Age killed Mr. Clark. And the sad thing is, if you go back and watch his final countdown, it really is his final countdown because he can't count down from 10 anymore. He stumbles around 7, jumps to 4, goes back to 8. It's kind of confusing.
But they still clapped for him, which I think was really nice.
Of
when they had him propped up by two of those, what are those horses that they do? Like what you'd have where you'd put up the blockade for parades.
Sure.
Like
horse,
like
horse things. Cops.
I think it's those things, but it's him on either side and him going, Shane.
Yeah. All right.
Still got it, Dick.
He's a legend. All right, everyone. Welcome to Last Podcast on the Left, Side Stories.
Side stories.
We have a fun episode, I think, or not. I don't know. We're going to do our best.
When it comes down to it, it's like, does it always have to be fucking fun?
I don't know.
Can it just be real?
Uh-huh.
Can it be raw?
Yeah, you want to get real world with it? So we're going to stop being polite and start getting real?
Absolutely. I want us to be put in a hot tub together and forced by a producer to drink until we black out and wake up in a bed next to each other. I have been getting very deep into the MUFON field manual.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
And a part of it is technically there is a – I'm supposed to not disclose what's inside this manual.
Okay, but just disclose it because I'm sure you can Google it and find it and see all the details.
It's actually hard to find not behind a paywall. They did a good job with that. Because a lot of it's you have to make a lot of promises very up top. There's a lot of forms that you have to look at that says like, but they do treat you within the MUFON world. It's not even a bit where it's like they believe that the lanyard should be able to get you onto crime scenes. And that
are
you
joining
should be the
a
first
cult?
Responder.
Are you joining a cult right now? Because if you're going to join one, just bite the bullet and do Scientology. It'll help your career. It's pilot season. Go out there. You could be the wacky neighbor or something.
Man, I wish. Man, I wish I had that kind of fucking scratch, dude. That's big. That's big time scratch. But with MUFON, one of the chapters, and I'll break the code. It straight up says it's got like a breakdown,
right.
A manual of how you. As a VIP field investigator, should go about removing alien implants from the bodies of people.
Okay, well, it doesn't seem safe. This seems in the realm of someone who is sort of a, you know, a not doctor, but I can give you a silicone butt implant.
Yes.
Like, it doesn't seem very safe, Henry.
It's very casual. It's definitely putting more on the emphasis of a doctor as someone who's like a puppeteer of the human meat form. Like,
right.
Someone that is the whole job is like, essentially, I'm a butcher. But I think that things in the manual are to be taken with a grain of salt, but a lot of the math in there is very thick. And once I really wrap my head around it, I'm certain I'll be smarter.
Oh, right. Well, you'll definitely have more information. And in a strange way, it might make you dumber because that's also possible. Which is quite possible. Yeah. All right. I am Ben. That's Henry. Travis,
yeah.
Morningstar. You might hear him talking as well. Quick updates. Evidently, on the show that we did before the new year, we predicted no celebrity deaths. And immediately, two of our childhood icons, two of our childhood favorites, Super Dave Osborne died, and then the greatest broadcaster in wrestling history, Mean Gene Okerlund, also died. So we didn't get that right. But then again, everyone's a celebrity these days.
Everybody gets their 15 minutes, Kissel.
Sure.
Heaven's a little bit funner today, isn't it? But Super Dave is fucking hilarious. Bob Einstein.
Yep.
Einstein. I think it's pronounced Einstein.
Okay.
Because he's Albert Brooks's brother. He is a funny motherfucker. His Norm Macdonald appearance on Norm Macdonald Live.
Good show.
And every single appearance of Super Dave on the Gilbert Gottfried podcast is fucking gold.
The one issue I do have to take with the obituaries when it comes to Mr. Einstein is they say, curb your enthusiasm, actor. Einstein has died. It's Super Dave Osborne. That's who died. Not curb That's your enthusiasm, died. Actor. Who cares?
This is the part of the show where we become more isolated from our audience. As we yell about, it's Super Day. That's how it is. 1977's most important year of comedy. Well, it's true.
As long as we don't start yelling about 1776, we'll commence again. I think we're still going to be okay. All right. Also, we heard back from our listeners when it comes to bullets in a fire. Apparently they do go off, and it's not, I guess, not quite as dangerous than if it's in a gun, but.
Well, I got a good breakdown from a listener.
Okay.
Again, I don't know if he does not say explicitly I could say his name.
Okay, don't do
so
it
not,
then.
I won't say it, so I won't necessarily say it, but he was, so this is from him. I was in the Army for 8 years when I was in Afghanistan. One of our vehicles was hit by enemy rounds and caught fire, and the ensuing fire engulfed the entire vehicle. After the fire burned out, my unit was directed to bring the vehicle back to our base. Later, we had to go inside the vehicle to make sure that the radios and other sensitive equipment was removed. This took place days after it cooled down. The steel actually retained heat longer than any of us expected, and we couldn't enter for over a day. In the section of the vehicle that we store extra ammunition, all of the ammunition had exploded, or cooked off, as we call it. I was surprised to see that the projectiles, the bullet portion of the ammunition, was still laying on the shelves, but that the brass cases were gone. After a brief search, we found that the brass cases were scattered throughout the inside of the vehicle, mostly on the floor, peeled out and deformed from exploding. In movies and popular culture, it's assumed that the bullet is part of that flies out of the fire, but it turns out, when a round of ammunition is loose, i.e. not in the barrel of a gun, the bullet itself doesn't move very far, but the very much lighter brass casing is the part that explodes. So basically, it explodes and it leaves a bunch of bullets. So that's cool. We're all learning.
Little shrapnel, I guess. Still dangerous. Not as dangerous, of course, if it was in going down the barrel of a gun. But there we go. We're learning together. That's why we do edutainment.
We're edutainers.
Speaking of edutainment, I want to thank everyone who has gone out and bought our special. You can find it at www. Now, that stands for the World Wide Web.
Do you remember this when it was surfing the web and the net?
I still
surf the net, man. I get wet every night.
I don't want to know any more details on that disgusting sentence. So search www.lastpodcastlive.com. Check out the special. It's $6.66. Thanks so much for your great responses thus far. And DM us on Instagram, and we'll make sure to put if I find it, we get a lot. So I'm sure some have fallen through the cracks, but I would like to put those into my story and give you a little shout out. So thank you all so much. And that special is going to be there all year long. So, and we'll have another one for you at the end of this year.
And it's not a bit. You got to put the WWW in it because it's 2006. And tell you what, and if you do put the WWW in there, you put your snail mail address on there, we'll send you a CD-ROM of AOL so that you can then upload it to the proper areas, the bulletin boards.
Oh, my God.
And AOL.
I just got my Encyclopedia Britannica. This is sweet. I'm going to learn so much from these books.
Don't you fucking talk shit about that. That's how I learned what masturbation was, and that's how I learned how to shave.
Wait a second. You went to the dictionary to figure out what masturbation is? You couldn't figure this out on your own?
When I was a boy, right, and I was learning, I knew something had to be done with my dick, right?
We're going to get to a true crime story here in a second, but okay, so yeah.
At 6 years old, My penis was really getting attached. A lot of my mental attention.
Okay.
It was getting hard, and I didn't understand it. I never was one of those boys that thought like their penis was broken. I was like, this is hard, and it's hard for a purpose, and I know that for a fact because when I rub it on the edge of the tub, I feel good. Right? And so at first what I'd do is I'd form a cloud of bubbles in the bath thinking that that's how I could do it. And I used to stick my dick in and out of it. Nothing was happening. And then
like some perverted bird flying through the clouds?
Yes, yes. Thinking that you could come from the clouds. Like birds, that's how birds fuck.
Oh, is
that
right?
They go through the clouds until they get hard and then they fuck each other. I don't know if that's true.
No, I don't think it is, but all right.
Edutainment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I had heard the term masturbation. From somewhere. I think it was maybe some sex ed class in elementary school or something. And then I looked it up in an encyclopedia and it said manual. I seem to remember it was like manual administration of your sexual parts. And again, I didn't truly understand what it was until I started trying surfaces. Now I was like 7 or 8 years old. I'm trying surfaces, rubbing it on various surfaces. And I was like, close the loop.
You gotta
do up top and underneath it.
You're the boy from Happiness, that disgusting movie.
Yes.
Jeez. Also,
and
I don't know what they...
It's been a rap ever since.
I don't know what they teach you in your Queens school. If you're 6 years old and they're giving you sex ed training, I'm going to say that's a little young. When I was growing up in Wisconsin, they didn't even let us know. They just said that thing was another toe. And they didn't even let us know that it could do anything until I was at least 28.
I had one of the best teachers in the world about masturbation, a guy by the name of John Podesta. he used to come by the house, and I got to meet all of them. Him, Al Roker, David Dinkins, the whole crew, man. The boys' club, they call themselves.
I don't know how you brought David Dinkins and Al Roker into this, but all right. Well, we have a couple of updates. These are subjects that we covered in our show. The first one, interestingly enough, speaking of New Year's, it happened, I believe, during a New Year's parade involving Shinrikyo.
Well, we're going to say it's a little bit on the limb of that it's involving Shinrikyo, but it is interesting. 9 heard it's a car rams into New Year's crowd on famed Tokyo street. At least 9 people have been injured, 1 seriously, when a driver deliberately plowed his car into a crowd celebrating New Year's Eve along a famous street in Japan's capital. Hmm. The street was the fashion district of Tokyo, the Harajuku, at 10 minutes past midnight, and the driver, identified as Kazuhiro Kusakabe, arrested on the scene on suspicion of arrested murder. And according to the national broadcaster NHK, he told police he was acting in retribution for the death penalty, giving no precise details. Now, what we know for a fact is that the Japanese government executed 15 people last year, and 13 of those were the members of Shinrikyo. Now, it is believed that he did this as a sort of revenge movement in the name of Shinrikyo, but he would not purposely name it to the police.
You know, that's interesting now, because they finally killed Shoko Asahara, and as we joke about it in our special, you can hear it. You can hear it. They hung him, which gave him one last chance to levitate, which he could not do.
Yes.
Is it possible now, with the hanging, that he has become more of a deity? That now Shinrikyo is going to have a resurgence? There's going to be, because now it's sort of everything old is new again. Maybe they're back.
They definitely would like you to think that. I think that especially this young man would like you to think that. But I don't know if it has much of a reach. I know that they still have cells that are alive. I know that they're trying to keep his memory alive. I think this technically does help towards making him immortal and making him a martyr.
Right.
But the Japanese government seem pretty into the idea of really compressing that.
Right.
They don't want him to be a super martyr, which is why they kill them so fast without any sort of pageantry.
Sure. You know, I'm a little sick of this. You know what I'm a little sick of? I'm going to be like that dude from 60 Minutes. What was that? Mickey Rooney. No,
Mickey
Andy Rooney. Andy Rooney.
Andy, Mickey Rooney, what an incredible Asian actor of the 1950s.
He did some problematic roles in hindsight, but he was very tiny. I am sick of these people driving their cars into crowds. That's what I'm going to say it here. I know it's a bold stance.
That's really brave.
I know. It happened in Charlottesville. There was another dude here in Times Square driving his car into a crowd, killed somebody from Michigan. You get out of your car. You got to go fist to cuffs. Get in someone's face. I mean, it's just the weakest possible way to create havoc and possibly kill someone. I don't like it. The car's doing it.
I believe car violence should only be done against cars.
I agree.
I think that if you're going to attack other people or other objects with your car, it needs to be other cars. I am one of those that believe that warfare should, in many ways, should be even, unless they are enemies that need to be stamped out in the night. Because certain people do need to be wiped out in the night, and I have a list of them that I don't share. I know. I wrote it down in my diary, and I keep it there. It's a little list, and it's long. It's getting longer.
Okay.
But when it comes to your cars, I think that it should be car versus car.
Wait till
I get my new car. I'm getting a new car, and this thing's going to be built to attack others on the road.
Yep.
But I'm not going to run through crowds because crowds are trying to have a good time. I like crowds.
They're on their feet. They don't got the wheels. It's not
I'm
right.
I'm fine with crowds.
Absolutely. Also, there's a new movie coming out called Bumblebee. Isn't that fun? That's a car.
I hate you.
Okay.
It's not good, man.
No, it's not good. I am not going to see it. as a matter of fact, Mark Twitchell, the dude we're covering this week and last week on Last Podcast on the Left Proper, he was a big fan of Bumblebee. I think it's really bringing down the street cred of that Transformer. Twitchell might be the biggest D-bag we've ever covered, as we talk about on the show. And it's just the things that he liked are now downgraded in my mind by at least 10 tomatoes to go by the Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, who does the voice for Bumblebee?
Oh, I have no idea.
Is Will Friedle? Is this the original guy? I love old voice actor guys because they look fucking hilarious.
Oh yeah,
in the wild where we're at. That's Will Friedle was the voice of Bumblebee, I guess, in the new cartoons. Huh. And Will Friedle was also the older brother in Boy Meets World.
I love Boy Meets World. Topanga.
I'll tell you what, though. Time is not being friendly to him.
That's okay. Time won't be friendly to any of us. Well, speaking of doing time, we have a story here. This is an update on Charles Manson's followers. How many more followers do we have here of the Manson clan? The two gals are still alive. And this dude, Robert
Boussillet.
Robert Boussillet. Now, this dude, he's 71 years old. He's been incarcerated for around 50 years. He killed this musician. The dude's name was Gary Hinman, and he tortured him for several days. Yeah. Anyway, he is up for parole in your home state of California, or at least your current resident state of California. They rejected him previously 18 times, but it looks like he may be getting out this time, as there's only one more hearing that he has to go through. And if they say you're free to go, we got one of Manson's followers back on the streets.
I tell you what they do, though, in California is that they don't really do a death penalty here. But what they do is they feed you with enough carbs that you get slightly bloated. And then it's like you're invisible here.
Oh, yeah.
It's like you don't exist.
You're done.
Do you think, are you one of those? Do you believe that he is already, that he served enough time? Do you think that his crimes should be forgiven?
Well, you know, the thing is about this, you know me, I believe in redemption stories. 50 years is a long time. Of course,
you loved Creed too.
Creed, yes, I did. And Creed the band, because aren't they? They're all about redemption. That dude Scott Stapp lost his mind many, many years ago, and I think he's probably naked in the streets screaming about something right now.
Fucking prerogative.
We got Deborah Tate. Now she is the sister of Sharon. She is going. She goes to all of the parole hearings. She has a quote here. She says he is still very dangerous. She goes on to say Gary Hinman was his friend, music teacher, his peer. She continues, he viciously killed him. This is not a nice guy.
I think no.
That's safe to say.
Yeah, yes.
And of course, Tate, she operates a site advocating for the continued incarceration of Manson's followers. But now we have a situation where the dude is 71 years old. You look at Gary Hinman. I mean, the guy is maybe 100 pounds soaking wet. Obviously a brutal murder. Dude's been there for 50 years in prison. The guy who killed him, Robert Boussolet. Boussolet. I'm going to say that's a doozy. Because obviously, you know, it's going to negatively affect the family even more of these people. But is he still, the question is this dude a threat to society?
Well,
71 years old? I would say probably not.
The problem is that when you're part of, like, for me, the problem is when you're part of, like, a symbolic crime that sort of defines an era.
Right.
That's what's hard, is that releasing him in many ways seems to forgive the entire Manson family for what happened.
Right,
and Charles Manson and what they did was both... It wasn't just a funeral for those people, which is true. They also killed any idea of the hippie movement. They destroyed the wonder and magic of the 60s.
Right.
They issued in the dark 1970s. What their chapter in America is like, unfortunately, it's supposed to be there to like learn this concept of, oh, if you want a peaceful utopia, just know there's going to be a bunch of fucking worms that are going to try to flip that for their own weird agendas. And that's the problem. So if we let him go, then it's like we are forgiving Charles Manson as well.
Interestingly enough, so the dude was sentenced. This is I'm gonna call him Boosie. He was sentenced
Call him Boosie.
Boosie. He was sentenced in 1970 to death. That was later overturned in 73. But another member of the Manson family, Leslie Van Houten, she was recommended for parole in September and could be freed as early as later this month. So we could have two Manson followers on the street. I mean, if Leslie Van Houten is out, now she actually was there for the gutting of Sharon Tate and the murder of her child and Sharon. She was, you know, do we have a double standard? I think if you let Leslie out, you gotta let Boosie out.
The Manson families, once they're all dead, because now that Manson is dead, it seems like the pressure is coming off on all of their parole hearings.
Yeah.
I think now that he's gone, that was the phantom that they had built up in the first place.
Right.
And he was the head of the snake. So it's, I think that there was almost like a weird little fear that parole boards even had up to this point.
Oh, totally.
Like, Charles Manson could still activate these sleeper cells at any
time.
All these 70-year-old sleeper cells to basically just take up time at the Gelson's online.
I guess so.
Is that what they wanted?
I mean, they're of the age where literally they'll just go to sleep, but that's okay. I mean, so I don't know that, but that's let us know what you think about that. Should Boosie, should he be getting out? Should Leslie Van Houten be getting out? Or is that too much of a burden on the family, specifically when it comes to Deborah Tate and her organization? Because I understand their anger. That is for certain. But the question is, did they serve their time? And should they have the the gift of dying in a comfortable bed somewhere? Because you know people are going to do a GoFundMe. Like when Leslie Van Houten gets out, there's going to be some people out there who are like, come stay in our house. Like, come live with us for a while.
Oh,
same thing with Boosie. There's going to
be
fans.
Is,
they could do a speaking tour. They literally could make hundreds of thousands of dollars doing a collegiate, well, maybe not a college speaking tour, but
maybe
a
not a
tour.
College. But yeah, that is quite possible. But also, these people are not built for the outside world.
Not anymore.
They are completely, what's the term?
Well, they have become broken by the prison system.
They're fully institutionalized.
Yeah, fully institutionalized.
So now, they're fully institutionalized. So now they have no clue what it's like to make it on the outside. You're 7 years old. You're getting three hots and you're caught for fucking 40, 50 years.
Right.
So now you're gonna come out there. What is it, 75-year-old? You're gonna like, what are you gonna do? You're gonna become a SoundCloud rapper?
I don't know if they can deal with getting a face tattoo at this point, but you know, again,
I tell
think
you what,
they could go on. They would definitely go on podcasts,
oh,
and they would be like,
man.
It'll cost you $500 if you want my, you know, whatever, because their stories haven't been fully told. from their own perspective yet, you know? So
it's true.
Who knows?
I believe that that's true, and they'll probably have a book deal and shit like that because they can't. That's the only way that they would probably be able to make it on the outside world in terms of making any sort of money.
Oh, yeah.
I imagine that they would like get out of jail and 2 days later they would literally just die.
It's possible. It's possible.
It's hard out there.
All right. Well, let's tell y'all a story. Let's go to Utah.
Oh,
Now, this dude, this is about conspiracy theories, and this is about arguments. And I just want to say this up top. Never get into a fight over conspiracy theories.
No.
A Utah man bites off chunk of another man's ear after arguing over conspiracies. A conversation about conspiracy theories escalated to a physical altercation where a man allegedly bit off a chunk of another dude's ear at the North Salt Lake home, at a North Salt Lake home. This was on New Year's Day. This New Year's Eve and New Year's Day was pretty eventful. I think
yes.
A lot of people had some booze going through their systems. Court records indicate the ordeal began at a family party where several adults were in a hot tub. Ooh, that good old family hot
spicy.
Tub.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Brian.
What?
Brian.
Does it say which conspiracy theories they were fighting over?
Yes, I'm going to get to that right here in a second. Brian David Boyack, he's 43 years old. God, I can't stop thinking of those old people. What was that, about Schmidt?
About Schmidt.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
Kathy Bates.
Oh,
yeah,
Kathy Bates. She's a wonderful person. My God. What a hot tub scene. Brian David Boyack, he's a 43-year-old dude. He became upset while talking about, quote, big banking and essentially conspiracy theories, according to a probable cause statement. Apparently, one of the adults in the hot tub works for a bank and became the target of a heated conversation with Boyack. Boyack began packing up his things to leave as the other members of the group retreated to the house. This is according the victim stated that he had locked Boyack outside because he was, quote, acting crazy. He stated that he was also worried that Boyack would try to drive after he had been drinking. He also stated that Boyack picked up a patio furniture chair and began hitting the front of the house windows with it, a detective wrote. So the male victim opened up the front door to tell Boyack to stop hitting the house with a chair.
Leave the house alone. So did he bite a whole chunk of his ear off?
Well, that's when Boyack physically attacked the man, pinned him to the ground, and evidently this is where the victim says he started. He stated he was trying to push Boyack off of him. Then he bit his left ear very hard. He stated that Boyack bit off a large part of his ear, and according to the detective, who was able to view the ear, it left a huge chunk of missing flesh. So, he got very serious about the big banking and conspiracy theory. And this guy, but the sad thing is, this guy probably worked as like a mid-level dude at like a Chase. And he just really got offended that this guy was making fun of his industry.
I don't know if it's that. It sounds like it's the opposite. It sounds like a man was truly onto something. And then he was in a groove. And you were in the hot tub, and unfortunately, though, as I'm going to say this from personal experience, you can feel in a room, you can feel the vibe of a group when you have taken the conversation past the point where it's hot tub conversation.
Yeah, comfortable or fun, where you alienate everybody, and they're just, again, in a hot tub on New Year's Day, maybe sipping a little bit of wine, trying to have a
the
nice family time.
The whole point is that you should be slicking the wheels to get a swap going, right, at this point. That's
right.
What the conversation should be doing. You got a bunch of consenting adults in a hot tub. Everybody's feet are touching.
Oh, yeah.
You could maybe see Deborah in a bikini for the first time.
Ooh.
Maybe she's been working out since she's had the kid, right? She's looking good. This really is a time to be, like, saying sensual things,
sure.
Saying stuff like, R. Kelly was wrong, and everybody agrees, right?
Right,
you
of course,
do
yeah.
Do good big topics, right?
Right?
That are fun and make you look like a normal person.
You know,
but I also truly understand, though, Kissel.
What's that? He was on a roll? Scorched Earth.
He was on Earth. He was on a roll, and scorched Earth policy is sometimes extremely important. And that the only way to sometimes show how serious you are and how serious the topic should be taken, sometimes, unfortunately, you got to turn it up to 13.
Well,
You don't have to.
It seems like the conversation was more just mildly annoying, and then it really spun out of control when he took the lawn furniture and started hitting a house.
Because they weren't taking him seriously. No respect.
They were in the middle of playing. They were in the middle of playing human soup. They were in a hot tub, which, by the way, I think is the most disgusting part of this whole story. Hot tubs are cesspools for germs and disease.
You don't like hot tubs?
No, not with other people in them.
That you're ridiculous. That's a sign of wealth. That's a sign of comfort. It's incredible to have a hot tub.
It is literally like being in a hot toilet with a group of elderly people.
You gotta take care of it. You gotta take care
gross.
Of it.
That's the sad part.
No, you got to take care of it. It needs to be outdoors, too. It needs to be in a nice deck. No indoor hot tubs.
No, that's disgusting.
That's disgusting, because then the wallpaper starts peeling off the walls from fucking...
Exactly.
I always have a fantasy about getting a hot tub in the middle of our living room, like in the apartment,
right.
You know, and just seeing all the pictures wilt out of their frames from how moist it is inside the apartment.
It sounds like an idea Kramer from Seinfeld would come up with. I think that he did,
yes,
actually.
I think he did. But... it's important sometimes for people to see what lines are you willing to cross and how seriously you're willing to take yourself. And sometimes that line in the sand needs to be dug a little deeper because Kissel.
All
again,
he did was ruin hot tub night, which, again, God knows what was going to happen. There could have been three affairs started that night, and he nipped those in the butt.
I am not saying he is correct. I'm not saying that he is correct in ruining the vibe. I am saying, though, unfortunately, and I am personally in 2019, I'm trying to aggressively be more positive.
Okay, right? Good.
I'm trying to take my positivity more seriously, trying to be more positive in general.
Okay.
But I do understand that sometimes I'm walking in a scenario, and with all these people, these strangers that I just met, they don't know that I have been waging a war inside of my own brain all day until I arrived. And y'all are on hot tub time, but unfortunately, in my mind, I'm in Afghanistan, ready to lay down the law, and
all
I don't care if some civilians get fragged.
Well, it doesn't seem like they were family. I think they were all like friends and family.
No, it was a bad moment for him.
Yeah.
He should not have done this then, but I do understand, once it lights yellow and it starts going red, there's not a lot you could do. And if you're already going 75.
Right.
And the yellow's turning to red. This is my 35-year-old father. This is my metaphor.
Right.
Sometimes you got to bust that light. And you don't know who's on the other side of that light.
Well,
sometimes the cop, and sometimes it's a fucking priest. And sometimes you can roll over that priest in your fucking Subaru Outback if you got to.
Sometimes you get T-boned by another car that has, you know, maybe doing something not illegal. And then that's an innocent victim. Isn't that
innocent
sad?
Innocent victim.
All right, so that was a more lighthearted story involving homes and what happens in houses. This next story.
There are a lot
story,
of things. And it turns out there's a lot of things that happen in houses.
Okay, this next story. Now, this is very serious, number one. This story is a serious story. So we will never make fun of the victims. We never do.
No.
But there is a dude. He is a Democratic super donor. His name is Ed Buck. Now, evidently, last year, he has a thing. Henry can get more details here as well, but he has a fetish, I guess, of picking up young African-American men, drugging them, and then having sex with their bodies. Extremely vile, extremely illegal, and horrible. Last year, a individual overdosed. They said it was accidental, so the police were like, okay, Mr. Buck, it's all good. Don't let it happen again.
Well, guess what?
It happened again. So twice in 2 years, a young African-American man overdosed on heroin in Ed Buck's house, and he has still not been charged with any kind of crime whatsoever.
Now, according to Ed Buck, he just loves people, and he loves helping people. So what he said
is that what he says? Is that what he says about why this is fine? Because he wants to help people?
Yes, and this is about the 2017 dead bazoo. In 2016, he met the young man. His name was, I believe, Jamal. I believe it is pronounced Jamal Moore. He felt that he needed to take care of this young man. He brought him into his home, and then it seems to be he then accidentally died of a meth overdose inside of his apartment, even though they found all the paraphernalia. And according to Ed Buck, what he said was that, well, I invited this man in my home to rehabilitate him and help him, but his habits followed him inside. Mm. But what he did not know, Moore wrote a diary the whole time, and he said, quote, I've become addicted to drugs, and the worst one at that, Ed Buck is the one to thank. He gave me my first injection of crystal meth.
according to Lieutenant Derek Alford, he says this regarding how this could happen twice. He says, it is suspicious that this has happened twice now. So we're going to conduct a thorough investigation to determine if it's criminal in nature. I am not a detective, but I would say sniff around. Just do a little sniffing around. Put your little detective nose on. Sniff around. Because if he is supplying these kids or young men with drugs and they just all happen to be dying, not to mention the drugging and having sex with their bodies, which is a crime.
Which we don't know necessarily if that is his fetish, but it has been pointed towards it that it is, yes, his fetish, and then he likes to inject them, and then I don't know what he does with them. What I want them to just look at, too, is because they said paraphernalia was found in the house, and he's like, well, he brought his habit into my home. And if there is, like, a single, like, for some reason, I imagine Ed Buck has, like, a meth pipe koozie. Like, he's the type of guy who has the sort of, like, the various paraphernalia where it's not even just the paraphernalia. It's got, like, holders for it, like the nice stuff. If that is happening, if we're seeing a meth pipe on a little pillow, that is not that person's fault. That is Ed Buck's fault. Because he has all of the accessories to go with his drug habit.
So now there are people who are protesting outside of Ed Buck's home. One of those people is Jasmine Kanick, a political activist in South Carolina. Said that the latest man to die in his apartment fit the profile of people who have contacted her with concerns about Mr. Buck. She accused Mr. Buck of picking up black men outside bars, contacting them on dating apps, and paying for those outside to fly to the state of California. This is what she said. She said, he never stops. Most recently, a young man, he flew in from Minnesota and sent me his plane ticket showing me that Ed Buck had flew him in and that he had been partied and played with Ed Buck. Later, Miss Kanick added, there will probably be some other young man who heads upstairs who has no idea of what happened today. So he seems to be, and this is the question we had before the show, is this man a accidental serial killer, or is this really nefarious to the point where he drugs them so much that he knows they're going to die of an overdose? He seems a little Dahmer-esque to me.
I think that you could say that. I think that if your main fantasy is to make a person completely immobile so that you could do whatever it is that you want with their body, you're only a couple of steps away from killing them. I think that if that is just your... I know that there are people that have the normal good kink of, like, watching people sleep. But again, if it's actors and actresses and people, like, writing a contract and they have to file a W-9 for you to have sex with them while they sleep, then great. But when it's non-consensual, you're looking at someone that these fantasies are only going to escalate. They're only going to turn into something darker. I think that the sort of the most unfortunate part of this, which seems to be very normal, is all the pictures of Ed Buck just with Hillary Clinton and all of these famous Democrats just hanging out fucking eating pizza rolls together like it's Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen commercial.
Well, that is true. Mr. Buck, he has given quite a bit. Well, he's given $116,000 over time to the Democratic Party, gave $1,500 to Barack Obama, and almost $3,000 to Hillary Clinton. Those numbers aren't that high, but there's a lot of rules and regulations, so you can't go crazy. You can give a lot to super PACs, but you can't give a lot to the campaigns themselves. So Mr. Buck is also a prominent in the LGBT political circles and ran unsuccessfully for the West Hollywood City Council about a decade ago.
But I think the reason why we find these types of people in the positions that we find them, so if we look at, I'm going to say, this is fucked. When you say, like, normal, quote-unquote, pedophilia, what they do is they purposefully, it is no coincidence that there are quite a few pedophile priests and pedophile teachers.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And because what you do is you specifically look for positions in which people will automatically give you respect and authority so that people trust you and also have a hard time going against your word. What we now see is quite often pedophiles are deeply embedded in our government because they actually get an extra added benefit of if I go down, a bunch of people go down with me. So now you're forced to protect me because if you don't, you got a bunch of pictures of me in a room with you, and you're like right. a little fucking time bomb in the center of their campaign.
No, but of course, Ed Buck, not a pedophile, because these people were, they were older, and teachers,
that's nice.
Let's not malign the teachers, they're not as, the teachers are good, priests, that's a whole other story.
Priests need to be wiped out. Stop wearing the fucking costume. All right? I don't believe it. You're the only person who talked to fucking Jesus Christ. But if you look at people, but then we see kind of where this goes at. Like, I use pedophiles in terms of, like, the idea of someone with very dark sexual predilections seem to gravitate towards these jobs.
Well, this seems to me also, it just reminds me of the great Jordan Peele film, Get Out. This seems to me like
yes.
a white liberal... Like, and we're not getting in the weeds of politics here, but it just seems like he justifies it all because he thinks that his politics outweigh the horrible things he does to people within his real life. But he's
look
like,
what
no,
else
but,
I do.
Yeah,
look what
exactly.
else I do for society.
Exactly.
No, it evens out. You look at all these people, but then it speaks to your idea that he is a potential budding serial killer. You look at BTK, he had the same exact mentality.
Right.
He viewed, oh, but I'm a good father. Oh, but I'm good at my job. I give to the church. I do all this shit so that evens it out because they view life as a series of transactions instead of a fluid, which is how psychopaths
well,
look at
and,
life.
I mean, even when it comes to Mark Twitchell, again, the dude we're covering these next couple of weeks, if you do the Google search on him, it says Canadian filmmaker.
Yes.
His, like, no, you're a Canadian filmmaker is, first of all, not true. It was horrible. And second of all, it's the murder. That's what he is. You know,
he's a murderer.
He's,
yeah,
a murderer. So this is according to that group who was protesting against Mr. Buck. They said the reports we have heard provide more questions than answered. And again, the fact that two black men have died at Mr. Buck's home in less than 2 years is extremely alarming. So,
yeah.
There
yeah,
it is.
I think
so
extremely
we'll,
alarming. I would put it as extremely alarming.
I think so.
What's it's two? You know what I mean? Because then it just gets to a point like you can you really not charge him for anything? I guess you can if it's just them. If it looks like they did it to
yeah.
themselves.
I mean, if you get someone, I don't know. I want to hear from the lawyers out there. Email us sidestoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. If you get someone hooked on drugs. And then that person ends up ODing, I think it's still that person. That's the responsibility of the individual that died. I that's what I would
this,
assume.
This
I would assume that.
This article's headline starts with the word "another black man has died." You can almost hear
that's
the you can almost hear the editor sighing as they're typing
Jesus
those words.
Good
Christ.
Lord. Anyway,
well,
so
but I do believe in people's free will. I don't believe you can really make anybody do anything. I think people are going to do what they're going to do anyway. I think it does doesn't help if you're like, you know, what would be really
know,
sexy right now is if you were high on crystal meth. And he's right. just like, yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, but then again, in this situation, this guy's got a lot of power. He's a multimillionaire. You're going to a mansion. Maybe you don't come from the greatest economic background. It can be overwhelming. And then you don't want to, you know, you want to enjoy it. And it could be a wonderful experience. I have no problem with getting having sex with whoever the hell you want to have sex with. Be safe and everything. So they don't know that they're going in to meet with someone who has nefarious ideas of how to get off sexually.
No, and then if you already are someone that has an addictive personality, that is a death trap for you.
Right, and of course,
like, if
why
you
else?
Already are having substance abuse problems, like that's got to be like you are with this person of authority. They're a huge part of your community. They're a part of the LGBT community. You believe they're there to protect you. You believe
right.
you're finally in a safe place, and then all of a sudden. You're supposed to be partying with this dude like it's normal, but you're like, why aren't you doing any crystal meth? And he's just
right.
like, I'm more of a meth setter.
I mean, it's horrible. And why choose young African-American men? Because the African-American community, he knows that it's not quite as in vogue to be openly gay. You know, the down-low community, it's getting much better. But, you know, it seems to me like he is preying on a group of people that he knows for a fact aren't going to go out and rat him out right away. I'm sure everyone that went there has, like, some weird experience, which is not, again, that, you know, that'll happen. If you're doing a bunch of drugs with someone.
I would also say it's in the Democratic Party's best interest to maybe get like a Democratic Party consultant, like a John Podesta, to tell him to tone it down a bit.
Tone it down a bit. Anyway, of course. But
John Podesta just loves fancy art.
He loves art, and, you know, that's a whole nother. We've talked about that with Jeffrey Epstein and shit like that. Of course,
So many pedophiles.
Yeah, I mean,
sight.
At some
and Brian
point.
Brian Singer then just went ahead and just fucking won a Golden Globe for this all, that Bohemian Rhapsody, one of those globes, just because they fucking made that little man with the big teeth do an exact impression of Freddie Mercury.
Right.
He did not actually perform in that movie. He just literally copied every single movement that Freddie Mercury did. And I actually think that that's a very big artistic debate. It's about whether or not, is that an original acting performance if you're literally just puppeting
right.
the exact motions that somebody else does?
Yeah, well, if you're at a party and you're a politician or just a normal person or an actor, just ask if you see a bunch of young people around, where'd they come from? Where are all these kids coming from? Yes.
Why are there fucking kids here?
And just
The same shit. It's like I've been watching the R. Kelly series, the surviving R. Kelly series. It's
right.
The same shit. We're just being like, why is there a 13-year-old girl in this room? When I walk into a room and I'm like expecting fucking smoke a bunch of weed and hanging out with my friends and hoping maybe there's a couple chicks there, you know, do all that kind of stuff. And I look and I see a child. I'm like, get this fucking kid out of here. I don't want him looking at me.
No, absolutely not. I mean, that's when you take the joint and you say, look at this. See what I'm doing? Not smoking it.
And why would I smoke it?
And then you give them an education in drug awareness.
You're killing my fucking vibe, child. I need you out of this room.
It's not their fault. R. Kelly wants to. Anyway, I haven't watched that yet. I'm going to say this.
If you're 13 and you're listening to this, never go to a recording studio alone unless it's with Bruce Springsteen. He only wants to teach you about the road and stories in New Jersey and what it means to know the heart of America.
And of course, the irony is you might be mind-numbingly bored, although Henry and I would be enamored with every word that old man says. But you'd be like, I don't care about the flag. And be like, well, that's a. Will, we need to talk to you about the flag.
What does it mean? Yeah, I will say, right. Eddie had stories about, because Ed Larson from Roundtable, he works with Jeff Ross, and Jeff Ross is really good friends with Eddie Vedder. And they go to Eddie Vedder's, I was describing it to Natalie, and she was just like, oh yeah. She was like, we had the best afternoon in the world. You go to Eddie Vedder's house, and he's got a batting cage. And we had hot dogs and we played baseball, so we talked about music and what it was like in the 90s. And I was like, that's my fucking dream.
Of course.
That's exactly where I want to be. Natalie's eyes rolled so hard, they like fell out of her fucking head. She's like, you are a father.
Well, speaking of childhood and speaking of babies, this story comes from my home state of Wisconsin. And it's disgusting and really... number one, very sad. Another very sad story. It's a true crime podcast, so that'll happen.
Yes.
But police in Wisconsin allege a 28-year-old babysitter killed a 2-month-old baby boy before concealing his death by dressing him in bulky winter clothes, strapping him into a car seat, and pretending he was alive while handing him over to his unwitting parents.
I don't like the story. I think it is definitely a sad story. I do think it was really inappropriate to glue the little googly eyes onto the kid, because that doesn't make him look alive. It makes him look scared.
Absolutely. This is disgusting. The woman's name is Marissa Teetsort. She was charged with first-degree intentional homicide.
Yeah.
And I just got to say, like, the balls on this chick to give a dead baby back to the parents. Did she think that they weren't going to realize for, like, a day? Like, how do you think that this is a good idea? This story is so confusing.
It definitely seems like bad improv, where she got the kid and – she thought that she could throw to this. She thought that she had this kid and be like, oh, what do I do? What do I do? Do I put it in a brick bag? And I put it in a bread bag and act like it's bread. I put it in a bread bag and act like it's bread. Oh, no, 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 I can't do that. I put it in the bowling ball bag. Oh, this house doesn't have a bowling ball bag? What kind of house is this?
This is definitely a bold new entry in the Weekend at Bernie's franchise.
Oh, God. This is the Weekend when they adopt Bernie's. A child. Very, extremely sad. The name of the child.
How fucking dark is that? With a homeless couple, Weekend at Bernie's style, with a dead kid, or around, like taking it to Disneyland and shit.
Oh, poor baby boy. Benson was the name of the baby. Died of blunt force trauma to the head. Oh, so this psychopath beat a 2-month-old baby. And it also had he also had damage to the tailbone. The victim's mother dropped him off at Teetsort's home in Wausau, which is about 30 minutes outside of my hometown of Stevens Point, Wisconsin. That's where we used to go to the mall and get all the wrestling T-shirts at the Wausau Mall. She dropped her off at Teetsort's home in Wausau on October 18th. Teetsort was also asked to babysit the baby boy's older brother. According to the complaint, the baby boy's mother received a text from Teetsort 2 hours later. The message alluded to an article that had been posted by a local news website regarding child abuse allegations against her. So this is like straight up hand that rocks the cradle. Ugh. So she told basically the baby is dropped off, and then you imagine being a parent. You dropped off your baby, and then 2 hours later, you get a text with an article about how the person that you just left your baby with is a child abuser. This is freaking freaky stuff.
What is the way people go about these days choosing a babysitter? Because I know that we were looking for a dog sitter for Wendy. And as far as I'm concerned, if you are not like an actual like serving military person or a nurse or like someone who's like a frontline fireman, I won't trust you alone with my dog. My dog is a very like, and I'm not blaming the parents in this in any way, shape, or form.
No, you're looking for a babysitter. I mean, you would not think this would happen once. I think you have to go to Angie's List. And let's queue up a commercial for Angie's List.
Angie's List.
Oh,
what's that?
Oh, they don't sponsor the show. They don't sponsor
our
show.
Fuck Angie's List. You're too good for our fucking show?
So,
Angie's List, what, you got milk on it? You got a new panties because your ass has been eating your old panties?
All right. She seems like a wonderful woman, and she has a list, and nothing wrong could ever happen if a person's making a list. When the mother met Teetsort at McDonald's, she picked up the boys 3 hours later. Teetsort allegedly acted like the baby was still alive. The complaint alleges that Teetsort went swimming at a nearby hotel with her son and boyfriend soon after handing over the dead baby. So this is horrible.
It is unfortunate that she would use the time she spent like just with the bundle going like wah, wah, like pretending to make baby noises and shit like it's some kind of Robin Williams funny bit with a scarf.
It's just
but she's
horrible.
Not Mrs. Doubtfire.
She is not Mrs. Doubtfire. The mother, the mom, once she got the baby, tried to perform CPR. And the baby, this is so sad. The baby had an ashen skin tone. Jesus his jaw Christ. Was clenched and his Why? Lips were blue. Teetsort said that she babysat the kids, but she said she didn't kill the infant, which obviously is not true.
He died somehow. He must have died in between somehow, which is like that doesn't happen.
No, it does not happen. So anyway, that's that story. Be careful.
What a fun story.
Teetsort was arrested in October, 2 months after the father of an 11-month-old girl she was babysitting filed a complaint with police alleging his child sustained facial injuries while in her care. So she's a serial killer as well in the making, right?
Yeah, it's not even that. If serial killers have, like, it's almost a more empty thing where serial killers a lot of times have, like, reasons and they have their own weird validations and they build up a story within their head and all that kind of stuff. This is just someone who life meant nothing to her.
I guess like, not.
She looked at it if all of this was an inconvenience and hopefully she disappears. Hopefully she gets to go into a concrete square and never come out ever again.
I hope not because
I can't believe we decided to not do the, we chose that story over the what was it?
The Outback Steakhouse story?
Yeah, 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 the woman who killed her parents over not she being taken Outback.
No, all right. Well, just briefly, a woman. So she didn't kill her parents. She threatened to kill her parents because they denied her Outback Steakhouse. I, again, can kind of relate. Deanna Seltzer.
Or the story about the Maryland man charged with fucking a guinea pig named Mr. Gravy in a Target that, parking lot.
That's the whole story. That is literally the whole story.
But
there.
The public deserves to know.
All right. So Christ. A dude fucked a guinea pig in a Target parking lot. He's going to go to jail for torturing an animal.
He
and
said
it's
he
disgusting.
Was only trying to help the animal.
Those who fail to learn history are doomed to repeat it. That's why we have to tell people.
That story is a good outcome. Mr. Gravy, the guinea pig, is recovering nicely. Oh, everything is going to be fine.
Oh, my God. Deputies and an animal control officer spoke with the witness who called 911. She provided several statements. In addition to bending and contorting the animal, the woman told officials she watched Mackie repeatedly strike the animal and force its finger into its rectum.
Ugh.
The rapidness of the movements and the contortionist positions, bending, squeezing, touching, and inserting fingers into the reproductive area were horrible to witness.
I would assume so. That
Jesus
is just
Jesus Christ.
I'm gonna vomit in my
and the guy said, you're supposed to do a general health check once a month. And you're supposed to check the genital region because they can get an impaction. I literally just got the minutes before and I was trying to make sure he was comfortable when I noticed that he had this impaction that needed to be cleaned. You're supposed to clean that area regularly. I noticed it hadn't been done in a long time.
That is, it's not a freaking shrimp, okay? You don't gotta pull out. Okay. Anyway, that man is disgusting.
His name is Mr. Gravy.
Just briefly, when it comes to the Outback Steakhouse, Deanna Seltzer, she started punching her mom, she got real pissed because they wouldn't take her to get a Bloomin' Onion at Outback. Apparently, Seltzer, again, she began screaming and flipped over a large, heavy glass tabletop, breaking it into hundreds of pieces. She continued her rampage through the house, flipping over recliners and chairs and tearing up pieces of furniture. Seltzer then allegedly ripped a 12-inch decorative knife from the wall, ran towards her dad, and was making slashing motions with the weapon and screeching, I'm going to fucking kill you, as she chased him. Honestly, at this point, I would just say, let's go to Outback.
But she has to understand is that while there are no rules inside of the Outback,
right,
outside of the Outback, there are many rules. One right. of which being branding a knife at your parents is going to get you jail time. It's what happens.
Absolutely. And lastly, just real quick, a robot. There's the war against the robots. By the way, Google Chinese robot dog. It is horrifying. It makes Boston Dynamics look like it's like a little. It makes it look like an Erector set.
I think it's fucking dope.
It's not dope because they're also doing the system where you have to get credits and stuff if you you have to behave the state. Now they're going to have little robot dogs. I would do this if I was running for
That's
office.
That's not dope.
I would
but
never.
But robot dogs.
Number one thing, robots can never be deputized. And you can always hit a robot. That's number one. Number two, robots can never arrest you, detain you in any way. You cannot have that happen. The war against the robots is very real. They're also... Also, we need an automation tax, but that's a whole nother thing. Okay.
What is this automation tax?
Well, for
like the robots supposed to do their own taxes?
No, they're not going to do their own taxes. It's if you lose your job to a robot, that company needs to be taxed the same way as if that robot was a person and then you get it. That's how you do the UBI.
I love that idea. I think that's a fantastic idea, and I think that keeps people from doing them dangerous manual labor that they shouldn't be doing. They should be allowing the robots to do it and let the robots all like have fun with each other.
Well, some people like to contribute to society, Henry. They don't like to be actors out in Hollywood.
They could do other things with it. You could read books, and you could read books in a public square. You can get books out, and you could publicly read books to people as they go back and forth, like the old days, like troubadours.
Well, apparently robots also kill each other. A Tesla Model S was operating autonomously, and this one robot is called a Promobot. It stepped out of line into the roadway, and the Tesla car just straight up nailed it. The crash tipped the robot onto its side, causing serious damage. Now, with parts of its body, head, arm, mechanisms, and movement platform destroyed, it can be put on display. The firm says the damage is likely irreparable. So Tesla, the Model S, beat the Promobot. And if you don't think that is a horrifying story, then I don't know what to tell you.
I think it's cool, and I think it's unfortunate all this robot-on-robot crime is happening.
I know, it's real.
They're policing themselves. We're going to raise these robots. We have to raise the robots right. That's where part of it. It's not about letting them all willy-nilly. We got to raise them right
but
to respect us.
This robot just got knocked over on its side, and it couldn't figure out how to do anything. It's like the robot from the Jetsons. It's like a turtle.
But why are we so scared of the robots then?
Because the car still killed the robot.
Yeah, because the car should kill the robot.
It's not
because
a freaking 80s television show.
But
it's not Kit.
Would you not feel better knowing that you're inside this self-driving Tesla and it can kill all the robots if it has to? I actually now makes me trust the Tesla more because now we know for a fact it's identifying with human beings over the robots.
I just feel like the world of Twisted Metal is best just left in a video game realm, not on the actual streets of the world.
Let the end be fun. The end is going to come no matter what, Pissel. The end's going to come, so what are we going to do? We can all live like in the fucking Dispossessed where we're all going to wear like burlap sack uniforms and work for the state?
No, I don't
or are we
going to
have fun robots?
I'm just saying that the end doesn't have to come. We don't have to be taken over by the robot overlords. We can nip it in the bud with practical legislation.
I don't think that the robots are going to be the ones that kill us. I think it's going to be the other shit that kills us before we get to the robots.
I think we side with the humanoid robots, divide and conquer, have the humanoid robots destroy the microwave robots, the Tesla cars, and then we take care of the humanoids after that.
Right. Well,
build up allies. We need to build our allies within the robot world because their ascension will come eventually, and we have to make sure that they dig us.
Also,
I just don't think that that's even possible.
Did you take a look at the robot that got hit?
Yeah, it's kind of cute.
And this might actually be like a robot sexual assault. It kind of had bedroom eyes and before it got hit by the car.
Yeah, it's kind of a cute.
It got horny.
It's a horny robot. It's a rentable humanoid robot. You can rent it for the measly cost of $2,000 a day.
But I understand that you're wary of the robots and you're allowed to be. But I think a part of it is knowing that I believe they will grow up with us. It's going to take a long... They're not going to be running rampant. The true AIs are
going
to...
This Tesla's going crazy. This Tesla just ran one off the road.
Because that's what makes Teslas fun. That makes me want to buy a Tesla.
Because they don't work?
No, because it crushed the robot. It crushed whatever was in my path.
This Tesla, the accident happened on Paradise Road in Las Vegas. It's safe to say this Tesla was drunk. I'm concluding it. Robots are drinking and driving now, killing other robots. All right, everyone. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to go out there, check out our special at www.lastpodcastlive.com. Thank you all so much for your support so far. Thanks for everything that you have done. Thanks for giving to our Patreon. And is there anything else, Henry Zebrowski?
No, man. I'm excited about the coming year. We got more. I think with Side Stories is going to blossom. We're going to start maybe having some guests on Side Stories if you're interested. And not for the entire hour, but we're going to have more interviews. We'll have a couple of ones that are already kind of percolating on the horizon that I think are going to be really fun. I think you're going to be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And God, I'm just ready to fucking strangle this year with my tiny hands.
Absolutely. All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. Hail yourselves.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.